This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of That Friday Night Live. This is the live Millwall debate show. Where you basically control the narrative to a degree. We will have some topics, what we will raise, and then it's all down to you. You get the comments in, that fucking sneaky bastard. You can get the comments in and choose what you want to do, where we go with it and all that. We've got some exciting things for you, so you need to stick around. A bit later on in the show, we have got, I believe that it will become infamous, Zian Fleming video, what the club's done. You can take it either way. Maybe it's a bit disrespectful to an ex-Millwall legend and a few other legends out there who, well, you need to watch the video. We'll play that a bit later on. Don't worry. We'll tell you when it's coming. We're going to be talking about Cooper, which was Steve's add-on to the agenda, which he sort of fucked him because Hutch is still out injured. So we're sort of, we're parked that to a degree, but it falls in nicely. We're going to have a discussion on the Millwall sick notes and obviously discuss the injuries. And also, we're going to talk about the Edwards process of rebuilding. Because Joe ain't been on for a while, and you know Joe gets paid by the minute, so it'd be good to have Joe on. Without further ado, I'm going to welcome Joe first. Good evening and welcome, Joe. And I speak on behalf of all our listeners when we hope that you are having a speedy recovery. We've told them it's a penis extension. Whether or not you want to tell them what you've done or not, that's up to you. But welcome back, Joe. It's been a while, and hopefully thanks, you're on the mend.
It has been a while since before Christmas. It seemed like a long, long time ago. Correction, it was a major surgery. It was actually a penis reduction. Fortunately, I've only got 8 inches
off his forehead
strong at the moment now. Used to be 12 inches, but now 8 inches. The Mrs. Zampa was complaining. So it's all sorted now. And I'm back on the mend. Thankfully. How are you guys doing? You all right?
Yeah, I tell you, you can't see the scar though, Joe. And I'm joined by my co-host and glamorous assistant for the lives with the one and only Stephen, back after his 24-hour marathon, according to Chris Brown, and I'm going to quote him there, 2 games are bored shitless.
No, I enjoyed it, mate. Raised 770 quid for Mind, which was way over the target that I had initially set myself. So absolutely delighted and looking forward to talking all things Millwall with you boys, especially Joe. As I say, it's been a while since we've had him on alive, and he missed the debate of last week. So hopefully we can get into one this week.
Can we just say something, Kunde? Right, sorry. Those of you who watch us every week, you know that my football knowledge could be written on the back of a postage stamp. But fuck me, some new people who've not seen the show before really think that I should know everything and anything about football. And Christ, did I take some pelters. And it was quite funny because I was replying to him and they thought I was someone else because they were still slagging me off.
I listened back to the whole show and I even tweeted, I messaged you off, didn't I? Mm. Vic, I texted you, I think, to say to you, you were on fire. You definitely had your Coca Pops that morning because I don't know what happened, you were on it. And it was a good defense between you both as well. I enjoyed it.
It was, listen, and I think that's, look, all it is that we only do so much. We can only do so much. It's with everybody who gets in the comments who fuels it, really, you know, especially when I start getting people supporting what I'm saying and, you know, Stephen suddenly gets some, you know, what he's supporting, what he's saying, and then we go. I think what the crack of it was last week was basically, all I was saying is I wasn't in any way saying that, look, passion, heart doesn't get you over the line, but we're not talking about us playing Premiership football. We're talking about professional championship players who were good enough to be brought. They should be good enough to be able to do what they need to do. And if they can't, then as an old boss I used to work for, there's the door. Don't fucking let it hit you on the way out. Do you know what I mean? And that's it.
For me, I'm just frustrated with the way that we're asking players that I don't believe can play the way that they're being asked to. And we'll come on to it. The Jake Cooper piece was my idea, which we'll come on to a little bit later on, which has been scuppered with the news today. But
no fucking Pepsi there, mate. Here.
But I mean, we can start with that if you want, and get straight into it. I mean, I messaged Mickey about this, and Joe, I'm sure you'll have something to say on it. But before the news broke this afternoon that Sean Hutchinson has had a setback in his injury, and how long he's going to be back, it looked like we were going to have Hutch and Leonard back available, which to me would have, for me, I would have liked to have seen Tanganga, Hutchinson and Leonard all play in the back three and drop Jake Cooper. Wes Harding, I think a lot of people have now lost their patience with him. And Jake Cooper, whilst he's been a great servant for the club, if we believe that this is the way that's going to be the Millwall way from now on, playing out from the back, I don't see how Jake Cooper lasts in this team much longer. He might have to play now that Hutchinson's not fit, but it might be a swan song for Jake, because I think come the end of the season, I don't think he's going to be there. What do you think, Joe?
I agree. Harsh but true. I mean, obviously, he's been a fantastic servant for us. So he's played, you know, God knows how many games for us now. I lost count. But you often see him getting found out quite a bit, doesn't he? I mean, he's improved, I would say, under Joe Edwards. He's definitely built his confidence up on the ball. But whenever he plays in a back three and he's got that license to kind of get on the ball and try and play a bit, he looks a bit suspect. I always find he feels more confident playing in a back four where it's a lot more tighter and he's restricted, almost just getting the ball and giving it, you know. When you ask him to kind of play with the ball, you know, you do sort of like worry. And I think having someone like Wes Harding alongside him at the moment doesn't really compliment him. You know, if he had a real strong ball playing defender aside him, it might be able to kind of help his game out a bit. When you've got someone next to him who's even worse than he is, the ball at his feet, I kind of get what you're saying in the last show, Stephen. You're asking players to do something that they can't do, you know?
I get that. And Pete, funny man. Funny, funny man. I take it that's dart-related, isn't it? It is dart-related, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. Yeah, I think the other thing with Cooper, though, for me, and I it's something
Hang
that
on, one
I
second
get
before you go on. Do you agree with Stephen that if Hutch is back and Leonard's back and Tanganga is back, then Cooper gets dropped? Give us a yes or no in the comments. Let's get the comments going with the first question of the evening. Go on, Stephen. Sorry, mate.
So for me, with Cooper, is the other thing that I don't really understand, apart from the fact that he's left-footed, he's playing on the left-hand side of the defence. You'd think for all the money in the world, you'd put him in the centre to be that kind of the middle defender and have pace either side of him. So you'd have Tanganga or Leonard one side, Tanganga and Harding the other, if you wanted to go that way. Because when Hutchinson comes into the side, I think he's going to play in the centre because that's where he's stronger. So he doesn't have to have maybe as much mobility. And you're asking Jake Cooper to play. So when Brian goes, Cooper is left one-on-one with attacking players that are much quicker than him. He's got no chance. And I just think that the injuries have hampered us. But if Cooper's going to play on that left-hand side, I think he's really dangerously close to coming out of the side.
Yeah, especially when you're playing at a three there, Stephen. You're right. When your wing-back's pushing on, let's say it's Joe Bryan, you're effectively asking your left-sided centre-back to play as a left-back and almost mark their winger and try and shut out those channels. And he hasn't got the mobility. He hasn't got the quick turn on him to kind of get back or try and chase things. He looks so slow. I mean, he's pretty slow this season. He did in previous season. He's been fucking really slow in previous season. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll get on to it later on in the show, but he's definitely one that I think we might have to get rid of. I don't know how much we'll get for him, but whatever it is, I think we might have to just cash in on him.
The other thing as well with him, and look, just before anyone starts saying, oh, it's all about Jake Cooper and we're slagging him off and it's all his fault, I'm not blaming the fact that we're not winning games on Jake Cooper as an individual. I think there's a lot that goes with it. But the other thing that you'd have with Jake Cooper is his goals. He should be coming up from the back and scoring from free kicks and corners. Now, someone in the comments will definitely be able to tell me this, but apart from the chance where he should have scored a couple of weeks ago, I think, against Borough.
When he hit the crossbar,
he doesn't get on the end of chances. And I can't remember the last time he scored a goal.
There was a period of time when he would get at least three or four goals in the season, wouldn't he?
And more.
I don't think he scored this season. I'm pretty sure he hasn't. And I don't know if he scored last season. If he did, it must have been really, really early of last season. I mean, I'm sure someone in the chat will probably tell us, but it just seemed like it's a long, long time ago since he scored for us. And to be fair, if you're playing him, like you're saying, Stephen, that's why you want him to play for set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not even quite doing that for us at the moment, is he? Let alone defending.
And that's it. And it's kind of like when Wes Harding, I know, again, is another one who's been very, very poor recently, but because he'd scored a couple of goals, people were willing to back him and get behind him a little bit, and that's gone now. So Harding's lost the goal scoring ability, so people are now questioning how good he is at the back. Cooper's not scoring goals and people are questioning how good he is at the back. If I'm not saying that you want your defender, you're banking on your defenders to score, but we don't seem to have that fear. But every commentator, or when you watch the highlights, they always say when we've got a corner or that Millwall are a danger from set pieces, and you know, it's a special, and you think, are we though? Are we? We don't ever get on the end of them.
Regardless, it's a good set piece team, but you're right, in reality, we're not, are we really?
Not lately, no. We're not. And also, I mean, Stuart Hobbs from Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, as a commentary, thanks for joining us tonight. And I just seen someone's liked us on Facebook. Thank you very much. Those of you on YouTube, you know what you do. You haven't pressed the like button yet. There's only three of you what have. You should get a special award. But to you boys, Stuart Hobbs says, we don't seem to have wing-backs who can go up and down. It's one or the other. Any thoughts on that, gents?
Can I ask this one?
Yeah, go for it.
So Murray Wallace has got the engine to get up and down all day long and extra time if need be, but he doesn't necessarily have the pace or the attacking presence consistently enough. I think what he's alluded to here, Stuart, is Joe Bryan, and I agree with him. You know, whether it's lack of fitness or sometimes lack of effort, which we all think sometimes, he struggles a bit. I think Norton Cuffey, up until his injury, was doing really well. His fitness really improved. He was tracking back. He's not really that great as a defender, more cover. He'll get back into space when he has to in transition, but obviously gives a lot more going forward. But to your point, Stuart, I agree. There's not many wingbacks we've got in our club that are effective getting up and down and could do a job both in defence and attack.
The other thing I think with the wingbacks as well is that, I know this is going to sound really stupid, but Rowett's idea of bringing in the wingbacks were to play his way, if that makes sense. And that's where the way that Edwards plays, the wing back system doesn't change dramatically. You've still got to go up and down and up and down, but you've kind of seen different players being given different, like Longman's been played out there, Wallace, Bryan, Norton Cuffey, Danny McNamara, Ryan Leonard. They're looking to find the perfect solution. And as you said, Joe, I don't think we quite have it. I think Norton Cuffey is better, much, much better going forward defensively. I said it on the commentary show, if you guys saw that in the week, that going forward he's very, very good, but defensively it doesn't work. And you have to be so good as a wing back, especially at this level now. You have to be so good both ways, and if you're not good enough one way or the other, you get found out.
No, that's it. And I mean, look, Andrew Roberts basically is straight in with there. Question is then, should Edwards get the players to play the Rowett way? If I do it that way, does that make it easier a little bit? Not really. Is it? No. Let's go back there. Question is, should Edwards get the players to play the Rowett way till we're safe and then change the personnel, or does he stick to his guns and we run the risk of potentially getting relegated? Personally, I don't think we're going to get relegated. I think we might finish down that end of the table, but I don't think we're going to get relegated, personally.
I agree. I think there's...
But then again, I did say we get 9 points out the next four games. So, fucking, what do I know, hey?
Well, this month ain't looking much much easier for us, is it? With the running we've got, apart from the Sheffield Wednesday game. But to the guy's question there...
Andrew Roberts.
I just think, at the moment, it's a bit of a process. I mean, we've talked about the word process and the project and all the rest of it. And unfortunately, that starts now. You can't just sort of put it off until next season, because what he wants to do, he wants to get the players in training, in match days, working the system and understanding the system. If you go all Rowett, you're kind of wasting the next sort of few months. I don't think we're going to go down. Like what Mickey said, I think we're probably safe. We're probably going to struggle. And I can see us losing more games than winning. But I do think there's three teams bottom of the league that are worse off than us at the moment, and I think we'll be all right. And it's all about getting up for the summer and building again for next season.
That's it. Well, Glenn's a Watford fan, commentary fan, and he says if Wallace is playing left back on Sunday, Sakamoto will roast him again.
Glenn, if you were there at the return fixture when we played you at home, Sakamoto absolutely ruined Wallace, if you remember. And I completely agree with you. And I think we're probably wrong to play five at the back against you lot, because if any of our wing backs gets forward, you can see Sakamoto really kind of counter-attacking and cause us problems down our left side. So I hope we go with four, but who knows?
On the question about should we go back to Rowett's style of football or to suit the players that we've got, I don't necessarily think it's about going back to Rowett's style of football, but I think it's a case of having something else up your sleeve than just consistently trying to pass it out from the back. You can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and it not work. I'm not saying it would have made any difference. Hull's pitch last week was poor. So when you're not that good at passing the ball out from the back and you're playing on a bad pitch, people will say, oh, well, Hull managed to do it. That's because they're actually good enough to be able to play out from the back. That's the difference.
Yeah.
So I do think that we need to maybe have a little bit of a plan B, a different option, something a little bit different to try and counter the fact that if we're just going to keep passing it out from the back, we're going to get nowhere. Coventry.
Go on.
Go on, Mick. Go on.
I was just going to say, David's put a question in there. A question to the panel. If you were Edwards, would you stick and do what he wants to do for the best of the players, or would you play a different style over to me because he knows that I think he should stick with what he's doing.
But he does have to have a little bit more of a plan B when the passing out from the back isn't working, because let's face it, we all talk about how good Sakamoto was in that first game, and he is very good. Coventry's attacking players and midfielders are Casey Palmer, Callum O'Hare, Hadji Wright, Matty Godden, Sakamoto, and I believe that who's the other one they've got? Ellis Sims. They're all players that if you don't get it right, they are going to take the ball 30 yards from goal and create an opportunity. So whilst I don't think you can completely abandon what he wants to do and move us forward, you do have to have something else about you when you do come up against high quality opposition. And we don't seem to have the plan B. Like on going back to Saturday, and I hope we don't do this again, Obafemi got some pelters. I thought the service into him was awful. He went off after 45 minutes, and we did look better with Bradshaw on the pitch. I mean, we couldn't look much worse than what we did in the first half, but you have to play the right balls into your forwards to make them look better. And if you're just asking them to chase lost causes, we're going to be faced with the same thing we did last week at the retail on Sunday.
We're against Hull. They're so good on the ball in their defenders. When they're not that ball around and playing through our lines, it's very hard to even get the ball off them. And I think Obafemi is not really known for someone who's going to press hard and you know, and try and win the ball off our defenders. I'm sure he'll probably learn very, very soon. And I'm sure that'll be a part of his game that will eventually come through under Joe Edwards. But that comes natural to Bradshaw. So when he comes on second half, the first thing he's doing, he's on every defender's heels and chasing them, hurrying them up. So that's why he probably looked more effective in that sense. But
that's it. You know, you used to like people. I used to like Dan. In fact, I was going to give Dan something Mill-related, which is only one of its kind in the whole world and will only be one of its kind. From something from a Millwall player who played in the Wonderwall Cup, I've got their shirt, and I was going to give him the program from it as well because he likes all the memorabilia. All right. But now, Dan, you can go fuck yourself.
I like that. Don't worry.
James Kelly. Sorry, I nearly insulted you there. Last season, once we switched to a back four, we looked so much better going forward.
I agree. I'm not sure who mentioned it in one of the comments a few minutes ago, but they said when you play a back with wing-backs, the wing-backs are the most important players in that system. Yeah. They can either make it or break it for you. And as you don't really have the wing-backs, I'll go back four. And that way, I think Cooper would be a lot more comfortable as well on that sort of left side.
Did you see did you see the Birmingham show last night? There was a Birmingham show last night where he couldn't do it, so I gave him someone else to do. And they had Chris Coleman on there. And Chris Coleman, I mean, I've clipped it, I've got it, I'll put it out later. But he said that he reckoned it was a 1,000, 2,000 Millwall fans were turned against Rowett and got him out, that he was doing the right thing, buying the players, getting rid of the old wood and all that. And I was just thinking, I just don't know what you were watching, because I just don't think it was 1,000 to 2,000 Millwall fans what got fed up with it. And I think that Rowett wasn't good enough to give it the final push. The last game of the season was a prime example, really. Also, you can't be 3-0 up and then go 4-3 down, can you? That's it. We're not talking about it anymore.
How can he say, Chris Coleman said that Rowett was getting rid of the old wood, and we've got the oldest average age in the Championship. So I think he might need to go back to the drawing board on that. We're not going to go back to Gary Rowett, but that's just ridiculous.
Also, he was building. Yes, he was building, but what he was building is the wrong system that us Millwall fans want to see. You know, he was very content to play defensive football, boring football. I mean, I've been going to Millwall since late 80s now, and this is probably the worst periods under Rowett watching them. It's just so boring to watch. And for all us picking on Joe Edwards and him not getting results at the moment, I must say the football is better to watch. I think we all agree that it's better to watch. All we need is just a tide to turn a little bit, get a bit of luck, and try and convert a few of these performances into wins, and I think we'll be right. And then next season we'll build on again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. We are going to be building, because if we don't build, then we're not going to be anywhere. So, yeah, I think it is going to be, we are needing to go on a rebuild.
And it's a massive rebuild as well, Mickey. I don't know if it's something we'll do this show or on a future show, but when you take away all our loan players at the moment and who we've got left with, and players are out of contract in the summer, really and truly, who have we got for next season that we think are good enough to play in the Championship? Yeah, there's not many. Yeah, there's a massive rebuild that's going to happen.
Well, for a start, mate, I know you said it there, but it's 10 players, five loans and five players out of contract who, unless something changes behind the scenes in terms of we know we're not going to bring that many people in or they agree to stay, you're at least looking at 10 signings at a minimum.
And also those five contracts, I'm not going to renew those contracts, even renew one or two of those. Who are we going to renew? You know, you could argue that Bradshaw, 31 years of age, he's got one more year in him maybe. He's a yes, he picks up injuries now and again, but he tends to play a lot more games than the other players that are injured. You look at players like Benny, you look at players of like Hutch, for example. Do you want to give them a contract when they're going to probably play half the games available? The only one that I think will probably play more is George Saville. Mm-hmm. But is he, I don't know, this season doesn't look as effective as it did in previous season or last season. you know, he ain't gonna get better next season, is he? He'll be what, 31, 33 season. So it's a tough one.
I mean, what's his name? To say, look, Edwards said Edwards will need a lot of money in the summer. Let's get through some of these, sorry, because we're falling behind. Afafemi should not be playing as a lone striker. As a 5'7" man, Fleming should be in the middle.
Yeah.
Morning. Someone tell Sky Blue Sam, we know you're going to split roast us, gloating prick. So, yeah, I flicked over them, but yeah.
He couldn't wait to tune into the show, could he?
No.
I think the other thing with the rebuild, and there's a comment coming, and I see the point, is someone said that maybe having to get a squad like that and will help Joe Edwards, because the rebuild and getting rid of players that play one system or a certain way, and then he can bring in a whole squad of people that will play his way. I understand that, but you do also have to understand that we don't have unlimited finances. So the wages that those players are on, yes, they can go into bringing in new players, but what about transfer fees? Are you going to be looking in the free market? Are you going to be reliant on loans again from the start of next season? There's two sides to it. Maybe the rebuild needs to happen so we can come away from some of the older, should we say, the Rowett Ball and Harris Ball style players, but we don't have the unlimited funds to go and do what... There it is, that comment there. There's two sides to the story. And again, depending on what league we're in, I am in agreement with you, Mickey. I don't think that we're going to go down. I think it would be tight, but I think we'll just about be okay.
Who three would go down, your opinion?
Well, I think Rotherham and Sheffield Wednesday are two that are probably the dead cert, shall we say. I think QPR will get out of it. I don't think they're going to be the third team. I would say either...
It's tough, isn't it? If you look at what's left... They're all picking up points. Huddersfield picking points up as well.
Huddersfield.
There's not many other
Plymouth. I don't think Plymouth are plain sailing just yet. I know they've got...
Frank has an idea there, though, doesn't he? You don't plan A, B, C or D. Are they, you know, with these players, it still won't be good enough to implement it, though, would it?
Apparently, I
think Plymouth losing Schumacher, Stephen, I think that's going to be their biggest downfall in the season. And I can see with a smaller...
It is, but they've also got a good home record. And one of the comments, I've just had a look, it's half time. Sheffield Wednesday are actually beating Birmingham, which I know you talk about teams at the bottom of the league picking up points, but Birmingham are also below us and moving dangerously closer to the bottom three. So while Sheffield Wednesday are picking up points, the teams immediately around us are the teams that we need to worry about. Stoke as well. They haven't seemed to have pushed on with... I know Schumacher left Plymouth to go there.
Stoke reminds me of Derby. Like Derby, they had a bit of money. They'll punch in above the weight of time, but then suddenly they just dropped right into that relegation battle, didn't they? And that could happen with Stoke. I really do hope it might happen. If you look at our next five games, we've got 15 points available. And I really think we're only going to win one game out of those five. You know,
Go on. I'll put that clip of what Colin said.
We've got Coventry, we've got Ipswich, we then got Sheffield Wednesday, which I think we'll win at home next Saturday, Southampton away and Watford. Out of those five games, how many games do you think we're going to win? Coventry, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, Southampton and Watford. Realistically, that's 3 points out of 15. Could that bring us straight back into it? Unless we get some surprise wins against Coventry or at home to Ipswich, which we could do. I mean, we beat Norwich over Christmas and QPR, which we can pull out those wins. But then you look at how many games has he been in charge now, Joe Edwards? He's been in charge, 15 games? I think we've won three games out of 15, isn't he?
Yeah, and the thing is as well is that you'd always usually say, wouldn't you, we like playing the bigger teams, we embrace the underdog tag. Well, we've tried to come away from the underdog tag a little bit, haven't we? We've tried to kind of park that a little bit and just play the game. It's going to be interesting the next month or so. But if there's anything that I would say in this division and the way that the championship works, Ipswich are not having it all their own way. And it might be something that's playing on their mind. Sheffield Wednesday, again, they're going to be fighting for their lives, but it's a game that we have to be turning up expecting to win. Watford, I thought we gave them quite a good game at their place early on in the season. So their fixtures, that are, Southampton, that might be tough. They're on a ridiculous run, but you can't. But they can't keep winning every single game. It has to end at some point. So why can't we go there and get a point? I know that might sound ridiculous. People don't know what you're talking about, but it's football. It happens. There's opportunities for us to win games of football if the players really, really.
Now you say that. When I said that last week.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, it's football and luck and everything else. You turned around and told me, yeah, but you can't fucking get luck if your players are fucking shit and can't do what they're meant to be doing.
It's different when you're talking about results to style of football.
Luck has everything to do with fucking winning a game of football. It's all about
We were talking about the style of football. No. Yes, we were. You were talking about heart and passion luck gets you through. And I was talking about the style of football. Yeah, but it's the FA Cup. It's a cup. It's completely different. Mickey, if you're going to sit there and say that you could, we can compare ourselves to Maidstone United in the league, you are completely and utterly wrong.
No, we can't, because Maidstone got through to the next round. We didn't. But I'm just saying.
But
that,
it's a completely different scenario.
Can get you through.
Mate, it's a completely different scenario. It's completely different, and
you're both making very, very good points here. Mickey's right in the sense that if you're up for it, you can win a game of football just by pure sheer determination and a bit of luck.
Shut the fuck up, Joe.
But equally, I get what Stephen's saying, consistently, you can't do it every game, every week. Yeah, just rely purely on determination, can you, Maidstone, for example, that's their cup final, isn't it? So, of course, they're going to throw everything in there and do everything they can,
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, no, look, I get what you're saying. Oh, look, fucking hell. We've got a couple of things on there, actually. We'll get back to the comments in a sec. There's a question being posted. I didn't show it earlier on, Daniel Fing. Question is, if we did go down under Edwards, do you think we would win promotion the following season? Get yourself in, yes or no. Let us know. Do you think if we did go down, would we get promotion the following season? Simple yes or no. Really? And also, Also, Stephen, get yourself time, mate. You've got yourself time now to go get yourself a cup of tea, mate. Maybe do yourself a slice of toast. And I've probably got enough time to run over Blue Water and back with this question being given to us from Stuart Hobbs. Off you go, Joe.
What's your views on SA's games functioning JE is used to youth? Stuart, from what, if you're led to believe what's true, is Joe is not being that impressed. Well, not so much now, but in recent games, his performances in training, his effort, his attitude, what he's asked to do on the pitch, on the ball, off the ball. And don't forget, I agree with what you're saying, Stuart. He's so used to working with youngsters, but he's used to working with the best youngsters in the country. At Chelsea Academy, they're blessed with the best talent. So when we look at Esso, we go, what a great young player he is. Don't forget, Joe Edwards has seen players like him and 10 times better. So he's not going to be that impressed. Yeah, he'll probably say, he's a promising youngster, but he ain't going to be woo like we are. So I think it's in some ways it's probably harder for SA because, he's got a high expectations to meet with Joe Edwards. But what I must say is his last two appearances where he's come on, certainly his last game, he showed a lot more fight, I think he's definitely learning and adapting to what Joe wants him to do. And I'm hoping that he's doing more in training because, you know, Joe's picking him to play. He's giving him minutes. Whether he features or not tomorrow is another story. But maybe the transfer rumour kind of sparked things up a little bit. But I'll ask you a question. I think SA is good, but Joe just wants that extra 10% out of him. And I think that's what he's working towards at the moment.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get what you're saying. Blue water. Yeah, mate. Oh, fuck. I'm just seeing where we were, mate, because I've lost
my place worth, in the comments. For what it's worth on SA, I completely agree, Joe. I think the last couple of games, whilst he's not set the world alight, I think he's at least shown a little bit of fight and a little bit of passion that he wants to actually try and play. I know that needs to then turn into producing assists and maybe goals, but certainly think he's up for the... He's up for the scrap at least.
You know me, you know me long enough. You know I'm a massive SA fan. You know, since last season, I've always been about SA. And I have to admit, when I've seen him come on early this season at the Den, and we're all waiting for him to come on for the last 15, 20 minutes, and he kind of like pisses around the pitch and walks around the pitch, doesn't really look interested. I'm pissed off. I'm fuming inside, thinking, for fuck's sake, you've got an opportunity to show Dragons what you can do, and you're not doing anywhere near what we know you're capable of doing. And that's the worst thing about it. Whether it's confidence, whether it's fitness, I don't know what it is. I must say that when he did 45 minutes 2 games ago, I can't remember if it was against Dale, he did look like he was blowing out his arse after about 15 minutes. So everyone saw that. He was trying his hardest, but his cheeks were blowing. And maybe that's another thing. Maybe he just doesn't push himself hard enough in training. When he does play for the under-23s, he's probably not pushing himself too hard enough for them either. And it's a fitness issue as much as a confidence one for him as well.
What Stuart says here is exactly the way that the underdog mentality works with Millwall, because there's been a few bits over this week in the press and also fans and all that all Edwards needs to do is just put all these in a little PowerPoint and just show it to the players and just go, listen, everyone thinks you're going to get battered. Mm. Yeah. It's up to you to prove them wrong. Then just go out there and just fucking play with your brain a bit. Hold the ball up a bit. Don't just keep making stupid passes. Hold the ball up and then fucking have a go. And just
I read an article yesterday, a commentary article, and a few of their players talked about this game. And their forward or their winger, Haji Wright, I think his name is, yeah, these players scored a few goals. He was talking about how they kind of completely outplayed us at the Den last time around. And I think to a point, he's kind of almost right there. But what he was almost insinuating is that it's going to be even harder this time for us, because now they're at home, and how our players won't want to play in front of their fans. Now, I think that's a bit of bullshit there, because I don't think our players get intimidated by playing away from home. But what I'm saying is that's their mentality. It's almost like he's beat us once, we're going to smash him this time. And when you're on that much confidence, it's dangerous, you know?
On that, there was a comment that Dan made about the play, none of the players having fight. And there was another comment that you've just popped up to say that Fleming will save us. I actually think, and I'm amazed at it,
Connie, that you won't think that once you see the fucking Fleming video.
No. Last Saturday, Zian Fleming stood up and tried to fight for the shirt. It's taken a long time for him to actually do it and to really see that kind of side of him. But he chased everything down. He tried. I know he gave some fouls away, but he was. You could see the passion. You could see the frustration.
Was it captain material, that performance?
It's only one game.
If he could sustain that every game, we're sort of having leaders on the pitch. Is that the qualities of a leader?
It could well be, but what I'm saying is that I think that Zian Fleming does care. There's been issues with him, but for all the faults, and I've given him a hard time, and I know I've been given pelters for it. But last Saturday, I thought if he had that chip, which I think he did the right thing to chip the ball rather than try and go round, but if that had gone in, that would have been arguably one of Zian Fleming's best overall performances in a Millwall shirt. He was superb. So I think that there's definitely value in when you need your best players the most, they step up. And that's what I'm expecting to see from Fleming. You might not score every week, but show that you care. Put yourself about a little bit.
Yeah.
What
do you think the reason is? Because I think even the performance before this one, I think he looked quite good. He looked like he was up for it as well. Is it a case that he's put that Burnley thing behind him now and he's stopped sulking? He's going, right, I'm going to knuckle down here. I want to help the team. I want to get us into winning form. Or is he thinking, you know what? This summer, I've got 1 year left for my contract. I want to get that move to the Premiership. I've got to start performing. I've got to start getting goals. I've got to start making myself look good again in order to get players that I've seen sitting around me.
Frankie's here on the head there, mate. The biggest issue with his current team is that they are spineless. There's no, they are frightening lack of leaders in this side, which is 100%. Hopefully Sunday, with Leonard being back, then we might have, you know, a leader as part on the pitch.
I think Fleming is showing that he might want to put himself forward as to be a little bit of a leader. I don't necessarily think I don't know whether it's the fact that he's put the Burnley issue behind him. I think there's a lot to do with maybe that he's got 1 year left. That might have something to do with it. But as of right now, because there's growing concerns that we are going to be at the bottom of the league and we are going to be struggling and people are talking about the relegation, that if Zian Fleming can drag us through a couple of games and earn us some points, then fine. If he wants to move in the summer, let him go. Try and cash in on him. Do what you need to do. But at times like this, when you're struggling, we haven't won since New Year's Day, which is a little bit of a problem. Well, it's a big problem because, you know, we all thought we were going to push on. If Fleming can drag us through a couple of games over the next month, so be it. If he wants to play for a different team in the summer, then so be it. But you need your best players. And I know that I've given him some pelters, and sometimes maybe I think it's justified, and sometimes I think maybe I might have got it a little bit wrong. But what I saw last weekend was the sort of player that is playing for Millwall that wants to see Millwall do better than what they're doing at the moment.
I agree. Yeah.
Every player what plays for that fucking badge on their chest, mate, should be playing at 110%. Because if not, don't fucking be it. And do you know what, Daniel Barnett there, nail on the head. Fleming, when we wanted Fleming the first time for about $4.5 million,
that's right.
Yeah. He didn't want to come because he wanted to stay and keep his side up, which he did. He scored on the final game and he fucking stopped a ball off the line on the final game.
Well,
make them safe.
He was the only outlet, wasn't he, at the time?
And he kept them safe because of that will and determination and want. And
hence the reason why Fortuna fans absolutely love him.
And after you see the video of him in a little bit, mate, you fucking will question his footballing ability to a whole new level.
Football's not great, to be fair.
Do you know what I mean? We will put the questions he gets to you lot listening, watching, to see where you go and see if you agree with his tally. It's wrong. Remember, press like. Keep pressing like if you're watching on YouTube because the number's still really low. Come on, boys.
His knowledge of old football is pretty shit. Why did the
pretty shit. Fuck you now.
Asked him what's your thoughts on Dennis Bergkamp. Obviously, everyone calls him the Bermsey Bergkamp. And you know what? His answer was, didn't really know much about him. Never really sort of saw him much. To see him play much. I think, for fuck's sake, like, surely you're a kid. You must idolise him. You're one of your best players, your countrymen. And all he said to me was that he knew because he was my coach at Ajax. He used to do one-to-one with me. That's all he saw him as, just as the coach, not as the player. I think, how can you not look that far back at your history? But that probably explains the video coming out.
Do the young kids now, the 15, 16, 17-year-old kids now, really appreciate Gazza or Beckham or Rooney, maybe.
You're right. But you're talking 20 years ago, aren't you? So you think about it. During Bergkamp's period, it would have been 20 years ago from now, during his spell at Arsenal. And how old is Fleming? 25, 26?
No, he's not that old, is he?
I was just looking this up. Zian Fleming is 25 years old, and Dennis Bergkamp retired in 2006. 18 years ago, right? Yeah. So Zian Fleming would have been seven.
But even he would have known about him then, wouldn't he?
He would have known about him, but he was 7 years old.
But he's 6 years
a legend in Holland.
But at that age, I think all he was caring about, Zian, was Ajax, the academy. That's all he cared about. And when Bergkamp retired, I think he must have went to Ajax as a coach, he just saw him as my coach. He didn't care much about what he did in football terms. So his knowledge of old footballers is absolutely shit. So when you see the video later on, it kind of half explains it.
Frankie's got a good point there. Fleming would be a good captain. We'll get consistency out of him and he would push on other...
Frankie, because I think with that armband, I think you'll get another level out of him. I think he's that sort of player. I think he'll take
all about the 1%, all about the 1% gains.
Exactly.
Do you think, there you go, let us know what you think with Frankie's question. Do you think Fleming would be a good captain? Yes or no?
I'm going for yes.
We're getting on to the end of the first half. I'm going to do a giveaway. Let me just set it all up, and it will be the same as it always is. It's for a key ring. We're not going to be doing any particular word. It's just going to be anyone who has commented will be involved. Let's just have a look there. If we stop sharing on that one, and we'll share it on this one. So then, there's about 32 of you have regularly commented so far. And here we go. Who's going to be the first winner of the evening? Chris Brown. Hey. Chris Brown. See Stephen over the next game or two. And you will be able to pick up your key ring. Keep commenting. We'll do another winner in a bit. I have to put your prizes as well, by the way, Stephen, on that raffler this weekend. I'll do it. I keep meaning to, and I keep forgetting. So, yeah.
Great profile picture there as well, Frankie.
What's that?
Frankie's there, profile picture. Tim Cahill. Yeah. Scoring the goal at Old Trafford.
If it's a Frankie I'm thinking about, I think he likes to write, should we say that much, without saying what he does.
Sheffield Wednesday, 2-0 up, again. By the way, against Birmingham.
What's the score?
Wow.
2-0.
2-0? Bloody hell.
Yeah, there it is. We are now a live chat show. We're a live commentating show for you, do you know what I mean? We're giving the scores of all the games and whatnot, but yeah. I'm going to try something new with you boys later on as well, so... be warned. I'm not going to give you time to research it. I'm just going to.
Good point, Bailey.
Later on. Why does everyone report as if Fleming wants to leave? Both managers have said he has been a good pro and he has never kicked up a fuss. He just didn't hit the same highs. Doesn't have to be that.
Very, very true. When I was chatting with Gary Rowe before he left, hang on, let's pick up his name. Another name I've just dropped there. Sorry. He alluded to how Fleming was such a great person on the training field. He talked about how Fleming, out of all the players, would carry out all the instructions on the pitch. And he will communicate to all the players. And if they're in the wrong position, especially if they're off the ball and they should be marking someone, he'll be constantly barking orders on the pitch. And Gary Rabbit said that he is like a leader for him. I don't know why they give him a captaincy now, but he said that he was so good on the pitch that he would carry out his words to the T and make sure that everyone else was doing what Wright wanted him to do. And I can't
imagine. So what the fuck happened on the game then? Because they've been doing most of the training at the pitch, at the main ground now, because obviously Claremont is so old and decrepitated or fucking fucked up that obviously the ground is all different. It's amazing that they can do it in training but can't do it in there. Dan Riggs says Fleming in the Prem with Millwall. Zian's been on the Spice clearly. Fleming, my captain on FC24. Are you doing all right or are you not? Yes, or Savoy's alternative. There you go. Look, get yourself in the comments then. Tell us who you think your top two picks would be for captain. It looks as if a few of you will probably go with Saville, but some of you are going with Fleming, possibly.
I'll go Fleming.
Get yourself in the comments and let us know what's what. I'm going to show you the Chris Coleman about close to the hour mark, or about 50-odd minutes, just over. And then we're go part two. Just to let you know now that we're putting the podcast out as two parts, just so they're easier for you to be able to listen to and whatnot. They'll be released over, you know, the day and the next, but they'll be in two parts. They might even end up being released on the same day, but it's just, it's going to give you a bit of a split. So some people were moaning that some of them were too long. So we've, according to podcast statistics, 45 minutes is enough time to listen. Between that and an hour, anything else isn't. So I'm just following the statistics. So
first part tomorrow, Mickey. Second part Saturday morning or Sunday on the way to Coventry, maybe.
Yes, mate, that's what it will be. And then you'll have Chat with Chaps, hopefully Sunday or Monday. And then the Sunday night live show will go, well, that'll go out Monday. And then you'll have Chat with Chaps on a Tuesday great, normally. So that's the way it works.
Great content, mate.
So that's the way it is, hopefully, and go from there. While we've got people chatting about what you call it, I am going to look at getting this Chris Coleman video lined up and ready to go.
While you're doing that, just looking at the live table, so Sheffield Wednesday have moved on to 26 points as it stands with their 3 points. That would see them still 7 points behind us. And we'll have a game in hand, obviously, which would be Sunday. Them winning doesn't really concern me. But the interesting thing now is, obviously, with Birmingham losing, they're on 32. QPR are now only 4 points behind them. So the fact that they lost Wayne Rooney, I know people are saying that Tony Mowbray might go in and do a good job, but I think they're not getting themselves out of trouble. And they had a good transfer window in the summer as well. So, and Blackburn just above them on 33 level with us. They're going through a little bit of turmoil at the moment. So I think, people are talking about relegation. Chris Brown commented and said, why are we talking about it? I don't think there's anything necessarily just yet to be panicked about. I think there's clubs that are actually in worse positions than us in the sense of their off the field exploits in terms of finances. Blackburn don't have a manager and they're going through a tough spell. So I think there's still plenty of optimism to be had at the moment.
David, for you, I spoke to him. We're waiting on the accounts to know fully, but he come back and said they should be okay. They're losing about £1 million a month, but with the allowances for infrastructure, academy, etc., should be within the limit. So as soon as the accounts are out, then obviously I will definitely know more. But at the moment, he seems to think that we should be okay. Captain should be the strongest character and who the players trust most, because captain represents the players to the management. That's a good... It is true. So maybe Fleming might not be the one. Has to be Saville, really, doesn't it? Or
Jonathan, that's a great point you're making there, but who would you pick? Offset,
good point. I think it called that. Yeah.
For me, I think Saville's got all the attributes to be a good captain, and might upset a few people. But I don't think he's good enough to be in the first 11. I would much rather have Honeyman and Denoir in the middle than Saville. Yeah. You can't really push for Saville when he's not going to be, if everyone being fit, the player that's going to play every time.
That's it. I mean, Andrew Roberts says, for Fleming to be a good captain, you need to give a captain's performance every game for 90 minutes to G the other players up. And he's not a Les Brierley type of captain to do that consistently.
But the point that's made earlier, Andrew, was if he is captain, would that give him the extra sort of 5-10% that will make him consistent and perform week in, week out for us? It does that to play.
To be honest, we knew that Eusted was going to Blackburn.
No, that was in relation to me. I didn't know it had actually been announced, but I said Blackburn didn't have a manager, but they're still finding themselves in difficulty. They were flying at the top of the league. They've got the league's top goal scorer, but yet they're below us. So there's clearly problems there.
Yeah, it was heavily suggested that he was going before the other guy went, I think. And obviously chatting to the Blackburn game, the Blackburn show was telling us. So yeah, well, I'm going to play this Chris Coleman comment. Have a listen, and you'll see what I'm on about. Let me just put it back to the beginning for you. No, wrong one. Hang on. Come back out of there. Let me come out of there. I put the wrong fucking one on. Carry on, Stephen. You talk for a minute.
As always, the technology is the levels of technology and professionalism on that Millwall podcast are unrivaled. I think
fucking presents.
talking about Zian Fleming, I don't think he would be the right person to be captain for me. I think there's better option I think there's better options in the sense, not necessarily players in the squad, but in terms of, I think your captain, you get more out of your captain if you're in defence or if you're maybe in the centre of the park. Being an attacking captain for me doesn't always work. Yeah, I just don't.
Harry Kane, Totti, Roberto Baggio, Diego Maradona. I mean, I know these are world class players, but attacking players can do. They can influence games. You don't have to be
an defender. They can, but I don't think. Let's face it. Apart from Steve Morrison, right? No. It's factual. How many strikers have we had who's captain? Neil Harris weren't captain.
I would have thought. To your point there, Stephen, I would have thought that Neil Harris would have been a good captain for us. I don't think he captained us often. He might have stepped in a couple of times, but he wasn't captain.
He told the story, didn't he? He told the story that he was given the armband during the spell of
Robinson.
He told a story. Someone might be able to get this factually correct, but he threw the armband to when he was substituted, not in anger, but he threw it at another player because he was going to take over the armband for the rest of the game. Yeah. And Dennis Wise, I think, pulled him into the office and said, "You're never going to be captain for Millwall again," because the captain's armband touched the floor. So yeah. I think he did it in a couple of games, but I don't. I'm not a fan of having attackers as captains. I know people have done it in the past, but for me, I just don't see it as a. I wouldn't want us to have an attacking player. But well, Fleming does have the characteristics for it.
I'm going to play this clip before we fucking get past it. Let's play this.
And I felt a bit sorry for Gary because I got what he was doing. He was building slowly. Every summer, he brought in better players, let a few players go. Kept us in the league for four seasons. Just missed out on the playoffs last year. But there was a style of play with Gary. It was very, very tight at the back, very organised. A bit like if we score one, we win 1-0. And for quite a few fans, probably 1,000 or two, they made it very clear that they didn't like it. They were bored. It was a boring style of football. So I think Gary... I haven't spoke to him. I've heard what he said on the TV, but I think he left because he sensed it. And the club due diligence appointed Joe Edwards from left and right wing. Nobody had heard of him really, but comes with a great track record at the previous jobs he's had. And now we're in this transition. And the transition is from what Gary Rowett was doing to just started the season.
You.
I think you're muted, mate.
I'm not now. You can hear me, can't you?
It was our ears.
What did you make of that?
It's rubbish. It's rubbish. I'll be honest with you. I don't really think there's any more to say to it. The bloke, was he there at Norwich? Was he there at Norwich when... it was so bad and he just sarcastically clapped the supporters? No, he wasn't. It wasn't just a couple of thousand. There were a lot of people that were pushing for him to leave.
I would say half the fan base, you know, there's a lot more than that, especially at home games as well. You know, you sense it. yeah, I just think the time was right, yeah, for all of us, really, everyone involved. And this is why the appointment was made about Joe Edwards, because they seen where it went wrong with Gary Rowett, and they went for the alternative, someone who's, you know, younger, more dynamic, looking to play more attacking football to please the fans, looking at the infrastructure, looking at bringing in youth players. And that was the reason. And we've got to back him. We've got to support him. And hopefully we'll stay up this season and we can press on next season, push on.
Bobby, you are going to get ruined in the comments because everyone's been telling us that you've been doing voicemails for Nick's show and you've not been on ours. And the amount of people what have been sending me your clips, and clipping them. And
Tappe.
Yeah. Bobby, where have you been, Bobby? You've been missed. The fans want you. And Tony, fucking crickets. I don't have a keyboard, for fuck's sake. Do you know what I mean? I use a mouse, and that's it. And I've got fucking three screens running here. Do you know what I mean? So give me some benefit. Do you know what I mean? Please. I am prehistoric, and I'm trying my best. So, yeah, there you go. Mark Murphy talking crap. Our defensive issues are purely down to Rowett.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.